Elkhorn and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now here's today's program.
Hello and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring, and today we will be talking about a couple of different topics that affect the African American women in our community. And we really understand all of the various aspects of healthcare. And we're going to start today with a new chapter of an ongoing organization called the Sisters Network, Inc. of Southeastern Wisconsin. And Keisha Jones is the president, and we're also going to be talking with Adeline Green and Dr. Karen Robinson, who are board members. We'll be talking about what the Sisters Network is, but it is addressing breast cancer and breast cancer survivors. And I'd like to begin a little bit with Dr. Karen Robinson to find out what are the statistics of breast cancer, especially among the African American community. I'm sure there are some disparities.
Yes, thank you, Jane, for inviting us today. So I just wanted to briefly give some stats related to breast cancer in general in the U.S. and then talk about disparities, racial disparities, with the disease. So next to lung cancer, breast cancer is the second leading cause of death related to cancer. About 85% of breast cancer occurs in women with no family history. And the rate of new cases are about equal between African-American women and white women, with white women having slightly higher new cases. Yet African-American women have about a 40% higher death rate related to breast cancer. And then when we start talking about age disparities along with racial disparities, breast cancer for women under the age of 45 is more common among African-American women, and the mortality rate or death rate for breast cancer for African-American women under the age of 50 doubles that of our white counterparts. And so while some of the disparities have to do with the fact that our cancers, African-American women cancer, breast cancers, are more aggressive types often. For example, a subtype called triple negative breast cancer is more aggressive and has a higher reoccurrence rate. And then we have other comorbidities such as diabetes or obesity that put us at increased risk. It is important to note that health inequities and health injustices, such as lack of access to quality screening, being diagnosed at a later stage of the cancer, and then having delayed treatment, also contribute significantly to these racial disparities that we see. And in Wisconsin, the racial disparities are higher than the national averages. And so particularly in counties such as Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, the counties that the Sister Network will serve, these disparities are great. So it's extremely important that we have these conversations and have support systems in place for African-American women so we can close this gap.
Thank you. And Keisha, can you tell me a bit about the Sisters Network and how it's trying to address this inequity?
Yes, thank you, Jane. So the Sisters Network, Inc. Was founded by a breast cancer survivor. Her name is Karen Jackson. And so she's the founder and CEO of Sisters Network, Inc. She is also a four-time breast cancer survivor, and she started the organization back in 1994. So if you ever hear her tell her story, back at that time, there were not support groups for women of color. And so just based on her own personal experiences, she decided to just charter that path in order to provide an opportunity for women. Throughout the years, there have been different chapters in different areas. With the Southeast Wisconsin Sisters Network affiliate chapter, as Dr. Robinson stated earlier, we're looking to network and cover the communities of Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee. And so many of the women who have come on board so far have are represented from most of those areas in particular. The mission of Sisters Network, Inc. is basically for every chapter. The goal is to be committed to increasing local and national attention to the devastating impact that breast cancer has in the African American community. And the way that our chapter, along with the national organization and the over 30 other affiliate chapters try to do this is by holding monthly support meetings for survivors and also for other women who want to come along aside us and partner with us to help bring awareness to this cause. So you don't have to be a breast cancer survivor to join our chapter. If you know, perhaps someone in your family was diagnosed with breast cancer or some type of cancer, and you're passionate about this cause and bringing awareness to it, then we've had some women who have decided that they wanted to be a part of it. The Sisters Network, Inc., the national office, they have something called a breast cancer assistance program. And basically, that is something where women from any community could log on to their site, and they have funds available for different circumstances. For instance, if there's a breast cancer survivor that needs help with groceries or with paying for a medical bill or assistance with a mammogram, a utility bill. So they have an application where women across the nation could apply for that and then receive some funding for that. So they, of course, are always running different types of fundraising opportunities. And then at the local level, as we are just getting started back in December, we do hope to have our own, what we would call the breast cancer assistance program, where at some point, once we've started to fundraise or receive donations, that we could start offering that same type of support to women in our local communities. I think it was important for me as a, I'll be a 3-year cancer survivor this July. And so for me, with my diagnosis, with my cancer being found early, and I didn't have a lot of sickness or symptoms, I just felt that I was being called to do something. And so this organization stood out to me as a way that it's already established in our communities, and that we could partner with them. And then knowing, you know, two fabulous women, and like I said, many others. Adeline Green is our vice president. I'm sorry, Adeline Green is our treasurer, and Dr. Karen Robinson is our vice president. We have a couple other ladies. Stella Jones is our secretary, and then Linnell Cunningham is our chaplain. So it's just been a wonderful opportunity bringing this program together. And like I said, we do hope to get started where we'll have an opportunity, you know, for women to hear more about the program and actually start attending some monthly meetings, of course, via Zoom at this time, since we're not able to meet face to face. We've had some meetings where we've been able to start to provide information to women in the community about what we're looking to do And like I said, it's just been a blessing to have some women from those different communities who are connected and established in their own communities of Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee in order to bring that support network to us.
And I probably should have mentioned that this is a very new chapter and you're already becoming well established, which is terrific. Now, Adeline, I know you're involved in so many things in the community. What told you to get involved in this as well?
Actually, what got me involved in this was Keisha. Keisha was a newly diagnosed breast cancer survivor, and she actually reached out to me in 2019, October of 2019. Keisha and I in the past have been involved with the Jane Creamer Foundation, which was an organization that also educated, raised awareness around breast cancer for minority women as well as majority women. And we put on an African-American event every year during Black History Month. In 2019, she and I discovered that the Jane Creamer event was not going to happen. And so Keisha suggested, and I was certainly on board with doing an awareness event for African-American women. And we did that in November of 2019, just as a community service. And beyond that, we had intended to do this again in 2020, but of course, COVID hit, and that changed our plans. And then Keisha did some research and found out about the national organization, the Sisters Network, which was doing many of the things that we hoped to do in the local community. And so through her leadership, we decided to start the Sisters Network of Southeast Wisconsin. We didn't have a chapter in Wisconsin until this one was started in December of 2020. And so that's really what motivated me to do this. And as Dr. Robinson and both Keisha mentioned, you know, our goal is to raise awareness, educate African-American women about breast cancer and the impact that it has on them. And the other thing is that early detection is key. Most people, I didn't know until I was diagnosed 6 years ago, I'm a 6-year survivor, that there are stages of cancer, stages of breast cancer, as well as stages of other types of cancer, from stage zero to stage four. And so the earlier you detect cancer, the higher your survival chances are. And if we can get information out to women that they need to do their self-exams and get their mammograms and detect cancer as early as possible, then you have a really, really good chance of having a semi-normal life and surviving for a very long time. So I really would like to get that message out to African-American women.
Dr. Robinson's statistics are frankly very eye-opening, and it does seem like make sure I'm understanding it properly. The two major causes are one, there's a type of cancer that African-American women are more, may I say, susceptible to, and then there's just the fact that people delay treatment either because of lack of awareness, as you mentioned, Adeline, and probably financial, being able to seek care or to even have regular exams. On that side of it, I can see where you're going to be a huge support to those who are diagnosed, but how do you get out in front of the problem and reach out to people? I would imagine that's pretty difficult.
Well, I would like to jump in on that and not all put the onus only on the women, but as a clinician myself, that part of that ownership is on the providers. And when we talk about reasons for delayed treatment or inadequate access to quality screening, right? That's related to social injustices and racism, systemic, institutional racism that these these things aren't offered in certain communities. All women don't have equitable access to quality care, or providers may not be diligent in their assessment or their screening of certain women. And so it's a combination, it's a multifaceted issue that we all have a part to play in it. And I would hope too that in addition to women who may be going through breast cancer treatment or newly diagnosed, that we can also reach out to healthcare systems, to providers, to encourage and talk about having those conversations with their clients and screening and offering those early screenings to women of color, particularly African-American women who may be at risk. And when a woman comes in and says that, I think I feel a lump or something doesn't feel right, that we listen to her and act on that. Because a lot of that, some of that delayed treatment or delayed diagnosis is related to not being given that opportunity to be screened. So just wanted to make that, add that point too, that it's not always that the woman is delaying treatment or delaying going in to be screened, that the healthcare system has a role to play in that as well.
And if I could chime in, Dr. Yes. Robinson is absolutely correct. The education piece does not just happen with Black women, but it does happen with medical providers as well. And one of the things that I have learned in my journey is that African-American women tend to have more dense breast tissue, and some of the normal methods that you would detect cancer, like a regular mammogram, those might not detect cancer to the extent that they need to. And so Dr. Robinson can speak more concisely about this than I can, but there's maybe 3D imaging that needs to take place when you're doing a mammogram for an African-American woman versus a white woman, so that you can catch those lumps or those cancer tumors earlier than through a regular mammogram.
And those types of tests in the hospital, they cost more. So I'm assuming what you're hoping to do too is try to either raise funds, as you had alluded to, Keisha, or else seek some sort of financial support so that women get the kind of treatment they need. Am I understanding that properly?
Yes, that would definitely be a goal, something that could stem from the breast cancer assistance program. And basically, you know, as Dr. Robinson and Adeline have both stated, advocacy, education is important, and self-advocacy is also important. So for women in general, the more educated they are about their own, you know, bodies, their own breasts, now they're able to advocate, you know, for themselves when they are the only ones, you know, perhaps in the doctor's office when they're hearing, you know, this diagnosis, not being afraid to, you know, speak up and maybe ask for that 3D mammogram or, you know, ask some additional questions to their healthcare provider. So I think advocacy, education is something that we definitely, education and awareness, want to bring to the community. And as Adeline had mentioned, with the Jane Kramer program, that was a program that, of course, has been in the community for years, was heavily attended by African-American women and others in our community who supported that program. So it's definitely on people's minds, and it's an area that they want to support, that we've been supporting. So it will certainly be an opportunity to kind of restore or fill the gap for that program no longer occurring in our communities. But yes, it will, as we start, you know, fundraising and having different events, definitely we would like to have funding set aside so that if there is a woman who needs help, let's say with a 3D mammogram, something that's not covered by insurance, that we could have funding of our own, or, you know, with a partnership with, you know, a local hospital, where we could help help provide that as well.
It sounds as though, you've been in existence, frankly, less than 2 months, but it sounds like you really have your act together in terms of what you hope to accomplish. What are the first two things you're trying to do right now?
The first thing that we're actually planning to do, we want to have, it'll probably be online for, you know, our survivors and our membership. We want to have a informational, like, health awareness presentation on the COVID-19 vaccine and how that might affect breast cancer survivors, information that we may need to know, you know, based on different treatments that we've had related to breast cancer, and maybe what information do we need to know in relation to the COVID-19 vaccine. So we thought that was something timely that we wanted to be able to present to our membership. There is also a national walk that we plan to support. It's going to be a virtual walk on April the 10th, people can sign up online at the Sisters Network Inc. .org website, and that if you do participate in the virtual walk, the money goes directly to the national organization, but our chapter wants to support that because any funds raised from that will go to the breast cancer assistance program. And the neat thing about that is, while we are a newly forming chapter and we don't have funding of our own, we can refer any of our women and men who might need assistance to the national organization for funding. So we definitely are planning to participate in that virtual walk. And then, like I said, having that initial health informational meeting just to kind of give information regarding the COVID-19 vaccine and what people need to know with regard to a breast cancer diagnosis.
Again, very ambitious, and it sounds excellent. It seems to me one of the biggest challenges would be to reach those who aren't typically, joiners. I know the three of you are very active in your communities. You work in education. You've worked in the job center, Adeline. You have networks of your own. How do you get beyond those networks to people who work in the grocery stores or people who just live in the neighborhoods? Because I know that's the tough crowd, isn't it?
Yes, and I'll say we each have our own networks. But for me, from a personal standpoint, Facebook is very helpful. Facebook, you get the word out there quickly. In fact, as both Keisha and I put on our Facebook pages that we were opening up this new Sisters Network, actually someone reached out recently from a broader breast cancer network and invited some of our participants to be on a panel, actually this Thursday, talking about breast cancer issues that are specific to people of color. So I believe, you know, social media is a great way to get information out there because just about everyone is on social media. And just word of mouth, I think over the course of time, people will learn that we're here and we'll be reaching out to our friends and neighbors and relatives and letting them know about this organization and what our goal and mission is. And I think we'll grow from there.
And Adeline, I would just add to that as well. One of the goals of the Sisters Network, Inc., national organization, and of course the affiliate chapters, is to reach out to churches and ministries, because over the years, the founder, Mrs. Jackson, that was a way that she started her network, by visiting different churches to get the word out about breast cancer awareness. And so she started like monthly programs at different churches to spread the word. And so that is actually one of the points that we are tasked with. Of course, right now, not a lot of churches are meeting face-to-face, so we will get creative. Definitely, we plan to have like a Facebook page for our group as well. But we want to start kind of like at the grassroots. And I believe that's also how the Jane Kramer program started, was in a church at Second Baptist, and Adeline, correct me if I'm wrong there, but we do plan to find a way to at some point connect with our local church ministries, and then I think we're going to reach those women who maybe aren't a part of, you know, the bigger networks that we might be a part of, but definitely reaching out to women that could use our assistance as well.
We've been talking with Keisha Jones, Adeline Green, and Dr. Karen Richards, who are officers with the newly formed Sisters Network Addressing Breast Cancer Awareness Among Local African American Women. For more information, please email sewisconsin@sistersnetworkinc.org. Now let's turn to another new important project, this one addressing Black infant mortality through a network of doulas. Let's learn about the We Rise program of the African American Breastfeeding Network. Let's begin first with Kayla Mumford, who is the project director.
Yeah, so hi, Jane. Thank you for having us here. So the We Rise doula program, it was a program for one, it's funded by the Wisconsin Partnership Program with UW Madison. And it was started last May, and the project was to run for a year. Our goal was to train and certify 24 doulas to bring aboard let me rephrase it, 24 Black doulas to support African-American families during the time of COVID. With Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha, we know that Black women have the highest infant and maternal mortality rates. The goal was to help support them and give them support from someone that looks like them, who's trained and skilled, especially during the time of COVID, to provide birthing doula support. All of the doulas have been certified through Health Connect One. They also have done a lactation training, a bereavement training. They've also done a business development training as well. So all of them are also a virtual support training, because obviously some hospitals have changed policies and everything, so they can still support clients over the computer as well. So we got them equipped to support clients, and then the goal is to support 100 women by the end of this April. So right now we're still trying to get those clients in and support the families in these three communities.
Help me understand what the issue is that this program is trying to address. Infant mortality, I believe, is a major issue.
Yeah, definitely Black maternal health, systemic racism, obviously, with Black women having the highest infant mortality rates, we know that systemic racism plays into that if one race is having worse outcomes than another, and just giving them a fair chance to have better birthing outcomes. And we know that doula statistics show that they help with the birthing outcomes. Sorry, my kids in the background, but so doulas help to support a better healthy birthing outcome. They show lower cesarean rates, more labor's happening on their own, less use of Pitocin, less use of a lot of things that can kind of make labor have an adverse outcome. So just having the doulas there to support this community, which sometimes can't afford doula support, is just very valuable and needed in these communities.
It sounds very interesting, and it sounds like it's a huge responsibility, and maybe this is something Kiera can jump into the conversation and talk to us a little bit about the training you received and really what kind of relationship you are having with the participant, prospective mothers.
Yeah, sure. So as Kayla mentioned, we've received lactation training and just the birth doula training, which was amazing. We also received the bereavement training, just kind of like full spectrum, kind of just covering everything that you may run into or questions that mothers may have. So with the couple participants, clients, I would say, that I've had. So we meet with them prenatally, and then I was lucky to be able to actually attend Lolita's birth. I know that some of my like doula, like coworkers have to do virtually depending on the hospital policy, but I was actually able to attend Lolita's birth with her. And then we also had a postpartum meeting where we were able to address her concerns and just help her in any way that she needed, really.
And what made you decide to get involved in this type of program? Had you been doing some other work for the African American Breastfeeding Network, or have you been a doula for a long time?
Actually, no, I just became a doula in June of 2020, and that is right before I had heard about this program. I'd heard about the African American Breastfeeding Network just a little bit. I'm kind of new to the area, so I didn't know much about it. But then one day I saw a flyer just looking for Black doulas, and I had just took a different doula training, and I do want to focus primarily on Black women just because of like what Kayla mentioned about our infant mortality and maternal mortality and just like other things like unfortunate like systemic racism and just like not being listened to by medical staffs and things like that. And me having two children myself and having personal experience with birthing, I just feel that it's really important for people to have support in general, but also support from people that have been through what they're going through, or just like people that look like them. So it's a natural comfort thing, I feel, being with people that are from your community.
So Lolita, if you can tell me, let's see, I think I had muted you, and I there, now you're ready to go. Thanks.
Yes.
Thanks, Lolita. Tell me, in working with Kira, what was the thing that helped you the most? What really spoke to you?
What really spoke to me was the fact that she was super duper helpful, and I'm not sure how to explain what I'm trying to say, but it's like not having any support during the pandemic and just kind of being alone, having your kid and being pregnant. Just the help that came from her really spoke to me, and how nice she was and supportive about everything. And I was really honored and grateful to have her there.
What difference do you think she made through the process? As Kira said, it's kind of unusual for her to be with one of her clients all the way through birth. Was that particularly helpful for you as well?
Yes, just her being there, she made everything go as smooth as possible in my eyes. Her being there was really, really supportive to me, simply because it was... like I was expressing, I didn't have, and I still don't have, a ton of support. And so, like, her being there when I was going through a tough time, I had a lot of doubts about, will I be able to actually have a successful VBAC? Will I be able to push this baby out? And she definitely reassured me time and time again through the pregnancy, through the labor, that, you know, she's like, you got this and you can do this. And so that made it so much easier. So she did impact me a lot.
That sounds great. And Kayla, I'd like to come back to you now for a few moments to kind of tie up what we've heard from both Kiera and Lolita, and explain What do you think that that does? You say the word successful outcomes, and I know the success is making sure you do have a healthy baby, but how does this again really cement that positivity and that healthy baby for the future?
I'm sorry, Jane, the computer kind of cut out a little bit. Could you repeat the question for me?
Sure, no problem. That's the joy of our technology these days, isn't it? So you have what we heard Kiera and Lolita talk about, and the positive impact that Lolita felt she experienced by Kiera's support. Now, if you can take that a step further and talk about the successful outcome or a healthier baby going forward.
Yeah, well, it definitely speaks volumes just having this one successful birth story. For one, it gives our women confidence in birthing, allowing them to know that they can do it. Like she said, she had a VBAC, which means she had a C-section before. So rebuilding that confidence in her body and knowing what her body was created to do, which is ultimately going to allow her to have future, you know, if she has more children, better birthing experiences. It also speaks on the value of doulas, as we're trying to get programs and funding for things like We Rise and or have insurance pay for doulas, it shows that they're valuable and they're needed for better outcomes. So then it can help these moms get the support they need who can't afford it. It helps our infant and maternal mortality rates overall. It helps us, like, you know, it helps systems understand the importance of doulas because, you know, going through COVID, hospitals have constantly changed policies and at one, you know, haven't always seen doulas as essential workers or part of the support team. So it helps with that and just really including us and bringing awareness of doulas into our communities because a lot of people don't know what a doula is or the value. And especially if they've already had a baby, they don't realize that it can be a totally different outcome just with having that person there who's knowledgeable and helping you advocate in a hospital and navigate, you know, the system. I also wanted to touch on what you said, asked Kiera about, it seems like a lot of like responsibility and everything and work. And it definitely is, like the doulas are going out during a pandemic, you know, to places like hospitals where full of germs and where people go who, you know, have the virus, you know, so they're definitely taking a risk with their own lives and their own families to support the community, just based off of passion and wanting to help be a part of, you know, the movement of supporting our communities and our infant and maternal mortality rates and seeing better outcomes.
That is awesome. Now, you mentioned that you're trying to identify mothers within the is Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha County areas. Am I right about that?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so if you can explain how you're trying to find the prospective mothers and how you how somebody can get involved in working with the program.
Yeah, so you know, we've passed out flyers. Obviously, a lot of places aren't allowing flyers, and a lot of people aren't out. So we're really trying to get the word out in the three communities. It's been kind of tough. Just because we don't have a lot of relationships built, like for instance in Racine or Kenosha. But for any mom who's, you know, pregnant, any, you know, by, you know, up until April 30th, you know, we're telling them to come and get the support while it's here, while we have funding like this, to really show the funders the need and the value of these programs and to take advantage while they're here and get the extra support, especially with the extra stress from COVID. They can contact me. I don't know if I can leave my cell phone number on here or email address, but they can contact me directly and get in the program. They can visit the African American Breastfeeding Network's website and fill out the application. Spread the word if you hear this to anyone you know who's, you know, birthing in that time frame. Even if after, you know, let them know the importance of doulas so they can look into things like this and have better birthing outcomes. And just really spread the word about We Rise and doulas in general and the value of them. In our communities.
You had mentioned, Kayla, about funding. Let's clarify that. Is this program completely free to participating mothers?
Yes. So they don't have to worry about anything. It's completely funded by the WPP.
Okay. And you mentioned funders, what are there additional funding sources or just the one?
Well, for ReRise, it's just the one. But, you know, like, it's always been like, we've always been trying to like reach out to insurance companies and, you know, let them know, like, you know, doula services should be funded and things like that to show the value of this, just like, you know, any other service that they provide to the women. Doulas help, you know, offset some of those bad birthing outcomes and health issues that, you know, can be avoided. So just showing insurance the need, showing hospitals the need, showing, you know, other, you know, grants the need, you know, for future programs like this. But for ReRise specifically, it's the WPP.
Okay. And that does make sense. And I can see it's a very scary experience, I'm sure, for most people. If they've never been in a hospital setting, they're talking to doctors who may not be speaking of things that any of us can understand, to be perfectly honest. To have somebody who really interprets, such as Kiera does as a doula, be extremely, extremely beneficial.
Yes.
Yeah, if I could just say something quick. Just like a clarifying thing. A lot of people when they hear like doula, they think a doula is like a midwife or like a doctor or something. Just for like clarifications, doulas are non-medical. We're just like support in like every way possible, basically. So when Kayla was like talking about like insurance companies and stuff, I think the struggle right now, or even just in general, is that a lot of, it's hard to have companies or just like higher ups think that doulas are like needed because we don't provide like what a doctor does. Like, so a lot of times they may think that we're not like needed, but outcomes show that we are. So I think that's just important to show, especially with Black women, that birthing with a doula can really make an outcome with a baby, with a mother, and just outcomes in general.
And I would think that having this particular program where you have a great number of women who will be using the services, you're going to have a better, once you collect all the data, you're going to have a better case to be made, right?
Yes, definitely. Specifically in these three counties, you know, like, I mean, there's tons of data out there, but just in these three counties and, you know, seeing the impact that COVID has had on this community and like not having doulas, because a lot of hospitals have, you know, kept doulas out for periods of time, not having them there and seeing how numbers have, you know, rose just over the last year and seeing how, you know, doulas can offset that. I think it's definitely going to help us in this community for sure.
Okay, well, let us make sure that the listeners know that the We Rise program is a program of the African American Breastfeeding Network, and there is a website you can go to. I Googled it. It's quite easy to find, African American Breastfeeding Network, and look for the We Rise program, and as Kayla said, using that, you're going to be able to contact Kayla and find out more about the program and be able to register for it. We will also, Kayla, include contact information on the website because we have an archive of this program. So they can look at the page on the archive and get that information. Well, I want to thank our guests today. We've been talking with Kayla Mumford, who is the project director, Kiera Ashat, who is a We Rise doula, and Lolita Thomas, who is a participant. Thank you so much, ladies. I really have learned a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.